all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Where it is Tuesday, July 18th. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Breitlove. Coming up later this hour, we moved our Motherhood Monday segment to Tuesday as we were off yesterday for the Civic Media move to their shiny new studios. And so we will have the Motherhood for Good folks in here, Kate Duffy, Nicole Slavin, and they will also have a representative from Planned Parenthood Action of Wisconsin to help women understand why a recent judge's ruling didn't immediately restore abortion access and comprehensive health care rights in our state, though it was an extremely positive sign for how that case is going to go. So that's coming up in just a little bit. If you missed our last hour, where we talked about some of the most clicked and viewed Up North news stories of the past week, well, you can catch the show anytime by subscribing to us as a podcast. Go to civicmedia.us and you'll see all the Civic Media shows that are listed there, and you can then subscribe. You can also do it through Apple, Spotify, all the other usual places. And of course, our phone number here, if you're listening live, is 844-967-2789. But we have to turn our attention first to a guest and an old friend who I think needs the proper walk-up music so the folks will know who we're talking about here. This, of course, would be Kirk Bankstead of the Minocqua Brewing Company and my former partner in crime when I helped out on his Wednesday night podcast, but who now has, it's not like he's been bored, you know, since I ran away and started doing a morning radio show. And it's those extracurricular activities beyond selling beer that we wanted to talk about this morning. Kirk, my friend, how are you?
Good to see you, Pat. It's been a long time. It's been a long time because you wake up a lot earlier than I do. We brewers tend to try to get a little more Z's in the morning because we consume some beer at night sometimes. So,
well, you do, and you, and you know, for the longest time, your hours were affected by running, you know, a restaurant and brew pub in Minocqua. The funny thing is that, you know, there are still people who make comments about it, and you can tell they're just being trolls on social media, you know, because they don't know you haven't had the restaurant and pub for a couple of years now.
Yeah, we sold the brick and mortar right around the time that I put that big Biden sign up that on the side of the building. It's the biggest building in Minocqua. The town, and this will probably lead us into the conversation that we're having today. The county told me that I had to take my Biden sign down because it was too big for a county ordinance. And what they didn't know is that in Reed versus Town of Gilbert, in 2015, as a Supreme Court case in Arizona, they ruled that you can't regulate the size of political speech. And so that was the first encounter I had had with Oneida County, which was completely illegal. But it set the stage for this crazy last 3 years of me battling both the town of Minocqua and Oneida County.
And the battle hasn't been over the restaurant. You, like you said, you got out of that business in large part because of COVID and a lot of the concerns that came with that. But you continued to brew beer, continued to sell beer, and continued to be vocal about progressive issues. And so when you tried a new location in Minocqua, essentially, well, a tap room, I guess, and you would have thought, you know, hey, a new business in town, let's help out the new business, you know, let's bring in more customers. And instead, it's been anything but, and it all has to do, well, not all maybe, but has to do with an uneven application of the rules, shall we say, when it comes to parking spaces. And now the thing has snowballed to the point where it looks like Oneida County is literally trying to put you out of business. But let's not get ahead of ourselves because we have to take a break and everything else here. But let's start with what the building is and what it was about the parking space. How did this first come up?
So when I sold the original building to Oak Fire Pizza, because I didn't want to do food anymore after COVID, I think many restaurant owners would have agree with me. I bought this gas station, and for 30 years, the previous owner of this gas station was a bike rental shop, and he put all his bikes out into the front yard. But when we bought the place, my architect said, Kirk, your deed shows that you have, there's this space in between the highway and your land that's unaccounted for. We don't know who owns it. So although, you know, we didn't own it, the previous owner had used it for 30 years, but we went to the town of Anakwa and we said, listen, we want to clear this up. We want to make sure that we're all working in together here. We said that it wasn't ours. They immediately said, well, then it's ours. Even though it had been used by the previous owner for 30 years, which I could understand that. But then they also said that I had to put 15 parking spaces in my spot, but they had just taken half of that land away and there wasn't room for 15 parking spaces.
And by the way, when we're talking about 15 parking spaces, we're talking about when he says gas station, it's like a very, very old former gas station. It's actually going to be on the National Register of Historic Places. It's a charming small building on a small lot, which, as Kirk is saying, just got smaller because the town took back some land that they didn't even know belonged to them, and yet still made this demand about 15 parking spaces, given how much other street parking and lots are nearby. So when we come back, we will talk about whether that rule is being applied equally to other businesses in Minocqua. Spoiler alert, it's not. And then what that has all led to, and where, frankly, Kirk, as a small business owner, could use a little public support on his behalf. But before we do all that, we're going to take a quick break to get these messages. We'll check in with Weatherology and get the full forecast and reset the Brewers as they get back into action this week as well. All after this break. You're up north. Won't you let me die? Back to our discussion with Kirk Bangstad coming up in just a minute here, but first wanted to let you know that the Milwaukee Brewers are getting back in action. Of course, we weren't with you Friday and Monday when they resumed after the All-Star break and where they took on the Cincinnati Reds in Cincinnati, swept all three of those games, won two out of three against Cincinnati before the All-Star break, and so the Reds are now up by, or I'm sorry, the Brewers are now up by two over the Reds as they get back into action in Philadelphia, taking on the Phillies for three games. And then they come back home this weekend to play the Atlanta Braves. We will have tickets for Saturday night's game, the Brewers versus the Braves. Look for those tickets. We're going to give them away Wednesday and or Thursday. But first, it's time to take a peek at the weather forecast all across Wisconsin. Feels a little cool out there this morning, but again, it's better than, you know, having a state filled with wildfire smoke. But let's see what things look like moving forward. And for that, we go to our friend Mike Cairo from Weatherology, who's going to tell us more about today's forecast. Michael, good morning.
Indeed, a very nice day across the state for today, and staying a pretty refreshing temperature and humidity-wise, especially for this time of year, still a touch cooler than average, expecting those high temperatures by this afternoon to approach that 80-degree mark for areas like Madison, up to near Eau Claire, as well as La Crosse, but I think we'll stay confined to the 70s for high temperatures for Wausau, right around 77 for that afternoon high temperature, and even some lower to middle 70s up to near Rhinelander, plus some clouds working on through for far northern portions of the state. I think Rhinelander and points off to the north, maybe a spotty shower up that way, but much of the remainder of the state enjoying lots of sunshine. Then for tonight, a frontal boundary slowly begins to approach from the west, so far northwestern portions of Wisconsin could maybe eke out a spotty shower, maybe an isolated thunder shower well after midnight for tonight. Areas like Amory over to near Baldwin, otherwise much of the remainder of the state staying dry for tonight. Overnight low temperatures dropping back into the middle to upper 50s. Then as that front continues to push eastward into the day on Wednesday, a decent shot at some scattered showers and some storms from about the Fox River Valley over to near La Crosse and points northward. I still think far southern Wisconsin looks to stay dry there on Wednesday. Temperatures, though, trending a bit warmer. I think we'll be closer to the middle range, the 80s, pretty much right along that I-90 and 94 corridor. Lower 80s for areas like Oshkosh and some lower 80s as well over to near Wausau. Just a marginal risk that some of those storms, especially for northwestern portions of the state, could produce some hail and some gusty winds by late in the day, but not expecting any big severe weather outbreaks, thankfully. And by the time we get to your Thursday, lingering slight chance for an isolated shower storm across most of the state, but pretty hit or miss in nature with that rainfall on Thursday. We cool off again behind that front. We're back into the 70s for most locations, but still holding on to some lower 80s for Madison, Oshkosh, and points off to the southeast. And then just an excellent end to your work week. Friday, ample amounts of sunshine statewide and very comfortable humidity-wise. Looking at high temperatures there on Friday in the lower 80s for most locations, but some 70s hanging on across the far north.
Good news for a whole lot of folks, except for farmers who, again, I'm not hearing any drought buster type of rainfall coming anytime soon here. Okay, Michael, thank you very much.
Yeah,
have a great day.
The more appreciable rainfall months with this frontal passage will be in northern portions of Wisconsin there on Wednesday into Wednesday evening. But yeah, much of the remainder of the state, pretty hit or miss with that rainfall.
All right, Michael. Hey, thanks again. Have a wonderful day. Good to talk to you, Michael Cairo over at Weatherology. And one more quick note that a statewide blood collection donation competition is going on with Civic Media as a way to help out the blood shortage that strikes blood banks all across Wisconsin in the summertime. So go give blood, take a selfie, and then give it the hashtag CivicPints. Or go to Civic Media's website and learn more about how you can take part in this challenge and be entered to win lots of cool prizes simply for helping, you know, people live. Seems like a nice thing to do. Kirk Bankstead is back with us now. And when we went to break, we were explaining how he has this tap room in an old historic gas station. It's on a small lot. It got smaller after they notified the town that there was some, you know, land that it wasn't clear who owned it. So the town said, fine, we'll take it. But then went ahead and said, you need 15 parking spaces, which is amazing, given, again, all of the parking that's available around that area already. Kirk, is that, I mean, couldn't you ask for some kind of a waiver or exemption? Is that something that small businesses do?
Yeah, so in the town of Minocqua, it's a very small island. It's called the Island City. And so in the last 2 years, in Woodruff is the town directly north. In the last 2 years, the town of Woodruff and the town of Minocqua have given a total of 207 parking exemptions to other businesses that have asked for them, because you can't put in, it's a weird anachronistic rule that so many counties have already changed, where there's a, if you have a certain square footage in your commercial building, you have to put a certain amount of parking in there. People don't want parking anymore in small towns. They want walkable areas. So these exemptions have been doled out to almost every single business that's asked for them. The reason I include the Woodruff in as addition to the town of Minocqua is there's another brewery within a mile of me that got 30 parking exemptions when they asked to build a beer garden. There's a bar called the Yacht Club that's less than two football fields away from me that got 50 parking exemptions when they asked to build an outdoor seating space on their property.
Well, the question has to be asked, so I'll ask it. Kirk, why aren't you getting the parking exemption that almost every other applicant gets?
I was one of the few people in Minocqua that raised my voice very loudly when the town sheriff said wrote a public letter saying we will not enforce Governor Evers' mask mandate. I also publicly yelled at the town chairman because he wouldn't allow us to put a tent up. I was one of the few restaurants that would not seat people indoors during COVID. And I asked the town to let me put a tent up into this parking lot that I used to have in the old building so that I could seat more people and actually make it through the summer, because I wasn't seating people inside when most other restaurants were, and they refused. When there were no events happening in that park and nobody was driving to that park because of COVID. So I was already being pretty, you know, I was very vocal and very progressive 3 years ago, and they have never let me, hear the end of it.
And it would be completely speculative for us to go in that direction were it not for the existence of a fan club online. And I, of course, using all due sarcasm when I say fan club, but this is a Facebook group dedicated to bashing you, which has received input, if I'm not mistaken, from some people who should know better than to comment on social media posts.
Yeah, one of the town board members was part of this, I would call it a Facebook hate group. They don't only bash me, they bash my workers. It's really rough. But there is a member of the town board, when we tried to get these parking exemptions, that called for the rest of the town or rest of these the 700 people in this hate group to come to the meeting and intimidate me. That guy had to recuse himself from that board meeting because we raised a fuss. And we said, this guy has already showed that he's going to vote against us. And that's a violation of due process. Now, most people in small towns don't have the resources, you know, that I have in terms of lawyers to be able to do this. So they just lay down and take it. But what's happened here in Minocqua is completely illegal. The only reason we haven't sued yet is because, A, we don't want to sue a county. It's taxpayer money. And B, it's very expensive to sue. We'd rather fight in the court of public opinion and have these guys realize that what they're doing is wrong.
And yet that takes us to the newest wrinkle. And that is, you know, you're seeking to use that small lot and in part to have a beer garden on there that people can enjoy rather than parking spaces that aren't necessarily needed. And yet, even as you continue to wait and wait and wait for a response on the beer garden request, you receive the surprise that what is it? Your liquor license, your business license may actually be challenged and revoked before that happens. What all came about? How did that surprise come about?
So we tried to compromise with the town. We said, if you're going to, you know, take away this land called the pork chop, this little land, how about we put the parking that you want there and we reduce it to like 7 spots? That took a year. Every time I seemingly put in a request for a permit request, it seems to take 3 times as long to get that that request through the government, through the town and the county. So that took a year for me to get rejected because the town said I couldn't put parking in this little spot, even though they're telling me that somehow they need parking downtown by forcing me to put parking there, but they wouldn't put it in that spot. So I had, like, within 1 week, this analysis was done that 207 parking exemptions were made. So I put in another permit in May to have 0 parking exemptions and build my beer garden. The county zoning officials said we could get this process no later than late June, early July. They have delayed this vote now twice to August 2nd. And I can show in the books that I'm losing about $2,000 to $3,000 per day of lost sales by not having a beer garden. So what I've done is I've allowed people to buy beer inside of my building, but I've allowed, and there's 100 to 200 people coming to my tap room a day, wanting to sit somewhere and drink beer. And so I've allowed them, I put tables out in on my stoop, on my concrete stoop, connected to my building and let them to drink beer. But that is what they're saying is an infraction with my current permit. And that's the reason they're going to try to shut me down next week.
So by their actions of delaying a successful small business to become more successful and play by the same rules that all of the other businesses are playing, they're going so far as to say, well, now that you're doing whatever you can do, you know, to thrive, we're going to take it to the step of challenging you and potentially shutting you down. Now, you mentioned the resources because you formed a super PAC some time back and, you know, raised funds and helped out again with political causes, putting up billboards and things like that. So again, you're vocal, you're out there, but that also means that people have been able to contribute to help you, you know, with this particular case. So you have made the case that it doesn't have to be donations. It can just be email messages of support or whatever the case may be. So my last question here, Kirk, is, you know, when does this next action take place? And what is it that you're asking folks to do to support a healthy small business?
Well, the first thing before we get to that, the wildest part of this whole scenario is that the vote to whether or not to allow me to have a beer garden, which would nullify all these potential violations that they're saying that I'm doing by serving people on this little concrete stoop. That vote was scheduled for August 2nd. The vote that they're taking, the public hearing, the same committee, the public hearing they've scheduled to shut my business down is scheduled on July 26th, 4 business days before that vote, which would have nullified all the violations that they're saying that I have made. So they've put this vote to shut me down before the vote that has been delayed by 2 months. If they had put those two together and allowed me to have a beer garden, then all the prior infractions would have been nullified. So I think that's pretty sinister. It shows that they don't want to have to take a vote that they know they could get suit on. And instead, if they shut me down, they don't have to take that vote 4 days later. I think that's completely sinister.
So go look up the Minocqua Brewing Company Facebook page where Kirk lays all of this out, and you can find out what you can do there to show your support to somebody who's just trying to have a good, successful small business. Kirk, I hope our next topic is a little bit more enjoyable, but this was very important. Thanks so much. Wish you all the best, buddy.
Thanks, man.
We'll be back after this. You're up north.
If I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political, it has policy impacts, it has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Brand new studio and control center up at the top of State Street in Madison, just off of Capitol Square. I don't think they're doing, you know, tours and field trips yet. They ought to someday, because it's a great new facility. And we just want to, again, congratulate the folks at Civic Media. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, but we are very thrilled to be here on 2 hours of their real estate on weekday mornings from 6 to 8. And again, wish them all the best with their new location, which will help control the growing number of stations in the Civic Media radio network all across Wisconsin, including the 8 or so statewide that play Up North News Radio, and get a chance to then talk to Kate and Nicole and then their guest, Marianne, that we will meet in just a moment. But as I bring you all into the studio here, Nicole, Kate, good to have both of you back here. I hope it was a good 4th of July. Kate, when we left off with the two of you, I believe you were trying to keep toddlers from killing themselves, as they are wont to do when you are on vacation in strange places. Did the 4th of July break go well otherwise?
Yes, it went well. We were, you know, again, we were up in Minocqua by the lake. We actually stopped by Minocqua Brewing Company, which is amazing. That was my first visit there. But yeah, a toddler on the lake, again, always within arm's reach. So, you know, not exactly relaxing like the 4th of July's I've had in the past, but it was still really nice to spend some time with family and be up in the beautiful North Woods of Wisconsin.
And Nicole, you got to, did you do a little traveling as well?
I did. I went to Italy and had a wonderful week and a half spending time in Tuscany and a little time in Venice. It was fantastic.
And I recall talking to somebody as well. I don't think it was one of you, but somebody else had gone somewhere, but it was on a family vacation. And they said, we can't wait to come back without the kids, which I hardly endorsed. I said, look, there's a place for family vacations, but you got to make time, you know, as a person or as a couple or just as adults to enjoy these places as well. So I'm glad you had a nice break. It's nice to have you guys back and to pick up kind of on, you know, a lot of people kind of unplugged for the 4th of July break here, but it was right around that time that a Dane County judge provided some input, some telegraphing, if you will, about how she is quite likely to rule on a law that challenges the state's abortion law from 1849. So it was time for us to get an update on that. So Nicole, why don't you set things up and introduce our guest?
Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah. So like you said, that was some really big news that we got out of Dane County, and immediately started kind of connecting with people we know and finding out, hey, how does this impact us? And what can we talk about here? And very excited to bring my good friend Marianne Radley into the picture to speak with us today. Marianne is the Public Affairs Regional Coordinator in Northeast Wisconsin with Planned Parenthood, and know that she has lots of great thoughts on this, and excited to introduce her.
Marianne, thanks. Thanks for being here. Nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you all too. Thank you so much for having me. So yeah, this was a very exciting Friday update, as we call it. You know, a lot of times when we get a Friday surprise, it's kind of the joke that, oh, it's never good news, right? But we heard this news come out of Madison, a couple Fridays ago, I think by now. And we were, you know, really felt good about this new development. So, you know, Pat, as you said, yes, we've so far since the Dobbs decision been kind of abiding by this old 1849 law that effectively bans abortion in Wisconsin, just because the wording has been so unclear and the enforcement also has been unclear. We didn't know what who would enforce what and how that would affect our staff, our clinicians, and things like that. So, Yeah, this Dane County Circuit Court decision came through, basically allowing Attorney General Josh Call's lawsuit that was challenging the legality of this 1849 ban to move forward to trial. So we're really looking forward to seeing this case proceed and what this could mean for Wisconsinites and access to abortion care in the future.
Yeah, because Wisconsin's in this unique place right now that after the Dobbs decision, the country became like this checkerboard now of states where women still have certain rights and states where women now have more restrictions than ever before. You know, Iowa just last week passed a 6-week abortion ban, which is now tied up in court as it should be and hopefully thrown out. But Wisconsin's place was rather murky because you've got this 1849 law that was construed as a ban. And yet there's also this 1985 law that more or less, if I don't misunderstand it, somewhat codifies the rights that are found in Roe v. Wade. But everybody wanted to know, does the 1849 law, you know, take precedent? And while the case is still going on, the judge was rather clear when she said there is no such thing as an 1849 ban. She said it was her opinion that this was about feticide. And while that's good news, that was not the final word, right, Marianne? This was just one part of one motion in a case that's still going on.
Exactly. Yeah, that wasn't the final word. That is kind of the conversation that's been at hand. Like, there are more recent laws that have been in effect since 1849, of course. So where do we stand and what do we abide by? So that's the argument. Yes, nothing has been officially decided. We are not reinstating abortion care at this time after this ruling from the Dane County Circuit Court, but we are relieved to see that it is going to move forward.
Yeah, and I was actually curious to ask too, and I wonder if people might want to know what types of, like, some of your clinics are still open and still providing services while this abortion ban is still in place and until we figure out what happens next through the courts, right? Could you talk a little bit about the services and the care that you're still providing to the people of Wisconsin?
Absolutely. And thank you for bringing that up. In fact, all of our clinics are still open. We have 22 clinics across the state of Wisconsin, and none of them closed and no one lost their jobs as a result of the Dobbs decision. We've kind of had to, you know, shuffle and do things a little bit differently. But we are still providing the same quality care that we've been providing, just with kind of the big absence of abortion care currently. We are still providing well woman exams, prescribing birth control, counseling folks on what the best options for birth control would be for their lifestyle and their plans to make to create a family or to not have a family in their future. We do HIV and sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment. We do a lot of cancer screenings, including breast and testicular cancer screenings. Goodness, we've been able to even offer new services over the last couple of years. The one we started offering in October of 2020 has been very popular, gender-affirming hormone care. So we are really excited to be able to offer that to our trans and non-binary community members in Wisconsin. And as of, I think just spring this year, we started offering vasectomies in Milwaukee at our Water Street Clinic. So there's been, as you can imagine, a higher demand for that kind of service. So we're excited to be able to help and provide vasectomy services as well. So yeah, we're still up and running. All of our centers, all of our staff, some of our staff even got certified to work in Illinois so that they could help with the overflow of patients coming from Wisconsin to provide care down there.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for talking about that. I feel like, and you have always provided a lot of services like that and are helping so many people in the community, especially people who are dealing with health insurance coverage and things like that. And it doesn't get talked about enough because, you know, abortion is all what people talk about, which we firmly believe obviously is still healthcare and is still very important as well, but there's a whole spectrum of care. So thank you for getting into that. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking.
I think that it's so important to really call that out and spend time on that because a lot of people, I think, in the media hear Planned Parenthood and their mind goes to one thing only. I know for me in college, that was my doctor. Like that was my main source of healthcare because, you know, I was relatively healthy. You'd go to campus, the campus office if you had like a sinus infection or whatever. But that was where I got my birth control. But more importantly, that was like my first experience of as a woman and, you know, being an adult and taking care of myself for the first time. That was where I got absolutely some of the best care I've had in my life, and really taught me like doing my monthly breast exams and all of those things, which I have now taken with me. So I love hearing that. And I think that's something that, if you know, if you're looking for a provider for yourself as a woman, or gender affirming care, or like you said, even some male healthcare as well, important to consider your local Planned Parenthood office. I also wanted to bring up, this is really other exciting news that has happened recently, over the counter birth control. So I'd love to get your thoughts on that, and any thoughts, and you know, when we might see it, and any other info you might have.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't have, you know, any more info than has been released, but of course we're excited about this too. It's kind of like we get a lot of bad news and then we get a lot of good news, right? It's like, it's always these extremes. So yeah, we heard that the FDA announced that they have approved birth control pills to be available over the counter. So this would be the first time that folks would be able to access non-prescription birth control in the United States. So honestly, my thoughts and feelings, and I'm sure I share this with, you know, folks I work with, folks I am in community with, that the more options people can have control over their reproductive health and their reproductive care, the better, right? Especially at a time we are seeing so many attacks on reproductive health care and reproductive rights and justice in Wisconsin, across the country, the more options we have to be able to have to take control into our own hands of our reproductive health, the better, right? So I don't know when this is going to happen. I feel like I maybe read something, but I don't want to give incorrect information. So yeah,
That takes us right into the information that over-the-counter birth control is a positive development. There's no doubt about that. But as either Kristen Lyerly would say, if she was here in OBGYN, or my wife in OBGYN, they'd say, look, over-the-counter options are good, but they are not a substitute for comprehensive care. And I get the sense that if people do have questions about this, they have a place to turn to in Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely, they do. Yeah, we are still available to answer questions. We always want to be a safe space for people to come when they have questions about, you know, what options are right for them. And I mean, really just anything. We want to be that safe space to talk about sexual and reproductive care, where we know so many folks don't have a place to turn when it comes to those topics.
Well, that really does, it gets back to the whole notion when you say a safe space, and again, I can't help but chuckle or groan at how even the concept of safe spaces is being under attack in our schools and things like that. Mm-hmm. But there are places, these places are needed, whether we're talking about schools for kids or doctor's offices or other healthcare providers for women, because home is not a tranquil place for everybody. And sometimes that provider is their lifeline to trusted information, probably more so than ever post-Dobbs for people that will come to a Planned Parenthood clinic.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, the stories I've heard, I'm so lucky to get to hear stories from so many people who've used our services. And a lot of times it's, you know, I had to get a ride to Planned Parenthood, or I couldn't tell my parents where I was going and I needed to get picked up, and, you know, things like that. So if people can get to us, if they have to, you know, get a ride, we can see them and provide that care and that non-judgmental, really that non-judgmental, compassionate, safe place for folks to get their questions answered.
To even though, to talk about transportation to get to someplace, and it comes back to what we talked about in the last hour with the military and Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville holding up hundreds of promotions because, God forbid, women who wear the uniform be able to go to a place where they can get comprehensive health care. You have states, Idaho, among others, trying to implement travel bans. And yet, and so somehow, not just Planned Parenthood, but other advocacy groups are in the business now of helping arrange safe transportation. It's a world I don't think we really expected, but that one where there are resources, you just don't be afraid to ask, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it just all comes back to the access. Like, and I think it's really important for people to think about, just because they don't experience something or don't have a hard time getting to the doctor or something, doesn't mean that doesn't exist. So to put ourselves in other people's shoes, and that's why Planned Parenthood and all their offices are so important. And the over-the-counter option is so important for people who can't get to the doctor. So, so many people out there doing such amazing work. And yes, it's so nice to get some good news about this.
And frankly, as well, the same goes for Motherhood for Good, as a place where moms are getting together and sharing information and saying, it's okay to talk about these things. Let's get you the information that you need. So Kate and Nicole, that's where I'm so thankful for what you do at Motherhood for Good. Marianne Radley-Wellhouse from Planned Parenthood Action of Wisconsin. It's great to visit with you as well. Wish you all the best as you keep providing that comprehensive care.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good to see you all. When we come back, we're looking to talk to Chad Holmes and get a feel for what's coming up on his program on the Civic Media Radio Network up in Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. Back after this, you're up north.
For scattered storms Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
This summer, Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News.
On Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Weekday mornings right after this fine program on the Civic Media Radio Network. And
what a lead-in, I tell you. What a lead-in.
I tell you. Well, look, I got rather discombobulated when I talked to you last and forgot to ask you about your recent trip because you provided many social media updates on it. But I don't know, I can't be the only person that's on your social media feed who started seeing your posts that you're in Vegas at a poker tournament. And we're not talking some small thing. This was like a big deal poker tournament. I didn't know any of that about you until I started. So I immediately got sucked in to every update. Chad, what's the story on you and high stakes poker tournaments?
It is big. It's the World Series of Poker. I think if people have seen it on TV, the thing about it, there's 95 tournaments at the World Series of Poker every year. And then it ultimately leads to the big one, which is the main event, which actually finished just last night in Vegas. But for the last number of years, outside of the couple of years around COVID, every summer after high school sports gets done in June, I take a little time. I take a week off and I go off and play in a few tournaments over in Las Vegas. And this year I was in one of the World Series events and made a nice little run. And then I still wake up in the middle of the night on this one hand where I'm on the verge of making a deep run, dreaming of winning it. I'm a 93% favorite on the last card, and it slams up a 10, and it's like it takes away almost all my chips, but it was still a thrill. I mean, it was so much fun. It was like started at 10 a.m., and we're about 15 minutes away from bagging up for the night because it's a multi-day tournament. In this hand, I would have had like 500,000 chips after starting with 30,000, and I still have chills. Ugh, I'm so upset about it, but it was so much fun, and I like getting away and doing that every summer back because that's when the World Series is. Otherwise, you don't go to Vegas in June.
Yeah, true.
it's really hot, but that's when the World Series is, and I've had a lot of fun doing it over the last number of years.
But this is how humble you are. We've mentioned a couple of times that you're in between sports seasons, and you talk about just kind of taking it easy and getting ready for the season. You kind of left out the whole part about, you know, the competitive poker in Las Vegas. what gave you the bug for that initially?
My mom played a little bit, and I played a little blackjack for a while. Because I'd like go to one of the area casinos down the road and play a little blackjack, and then I started playing poker, and I just really enjoyed it. And the thing about it, so much of what we do, it seems like it's a 24/7. You're thinking about the news, you're thinking about your next show, you're trying to put together everything, and then with me as well, I got the games and all this stuff. When I'm playing poker, it just gets me away from all that. I don't think about anything else. I'm just there at the table. It's a nice social game as well. And, it's something I enjoy doing.
So what's the difference maker that says to somebody that I could do this from a competitive standpoint? Because for example, you might like to play baseball, but it's not until you start hitting a few over the fence that you go, I think I've got this hand-eye coordination down pretty good. What is the tell, if you will, no pun intended, where you go, you know, I'm making really good judgments on these hands, and I think I can do this competitively.
Boy, I wish I had the answer to that one because I'm not sure. But that's one of the fun things about it because when I've gone there, I've been at the table a couple years ago at a tournament. I get there and I'm sitting at the table with a guy that was the world champion, because in the room they have the pictures of the main event champions every year, and the main event champion from about 35 years ago sitting at my table. You don't get a chance to hit against Nolan Ryan. You don't get a chance to be on the football field catching balls from Aaron Rodgers. But in this game, you have the opportunity to play with the best players in the world. In fact, the tournament I played a couple of weeks ago, I'm changed tables late in the tournament, and I sit down, and there's a woman there named Kathy Liebert, who was a nominee for the Poker Hall of Fame this year.
Wow.
So it's like, you know, it's like you kind of say, wow, you know, you're getting a chance to play with the best people. But what makes you do it? I don't play in the biggest tournaments. These are the lower buy-ins at the tournament. So I'm not spending the same level of money that a lot of these people are. It's the lowest buy-ins for the World Series of Poker. So it's not a case where I got all this confidence where I'm going to come in there and win big. But the thing was, that second tournament, I did cash, which is the goal. That's the because 85% of the people buy in, they get zero. You have to be in the top 15% of the tournament. There were 4,300 players. So you have to be in the top 650 to be in the money. And I finished like 500 something. And
so what does that mean? So let's say you finish 650, you know, so you get the bottom level of
mid cash.
What are we talking about?
This tournament was a $600 buy-in, and you won somewhere just north of $1,000. So, I mean,
for being the last person.
And then they have groupings, and it moves up, and ultimately the winner made something where around 260,000.
Wow. Okay. What would you say was your biggest win? You've talked about going up against some big players. Which one did you, win a hand or win a tournament and go, wow, I beat that person?
Well, I just think cashing in these tournaments where I have faced off, when I played against the world champion from a few years back, I cashed in that tournament. Okay. Make it through and just cash. I mean, obviously you got to get lucky. I got unlucky in this tournament. I mean, I would have been in the top 60 chip count at the end of day one if I win this hand. And again, all I needed to do was dodge a 10 and I would have 500,000 chips. Instead, I had down to 90 and then I lost early the next day. So it's like, you have to get lucky to make deep runs.
Lucky, but also willing to take a gut punch like that. Yeah,
I know.
Well, and I guess then it's the buy-in that really determines where you at some point have to ask yourself, you and anybody has to say, you know, can I afford to do this? It's not a matter of how many more nickels can I put in the slot machine. It's how many times do I want to, you know, do this buy-in and go to this tournament? So how many times do you do this? Is it a once a year thing or?
This is once a year. Basically the last couple of months, because I don't play for like 8-9 months. After I do this, but then when we get close to the tournament, I swing over to Minneapolis a couple of times just to play in a couple of small tournaments where you have to pay like $200 to get in, but just to work on the game a little bit before going to Vegas. So
it's like a batting cage, you know.
Yeah, I mean, so remember what you do to get back into the rhythm a little bit. But it's a good thing actually for me. Two things: number one, that we don't have somewhere very close here, and number two, the second best thing about going to Vegas is the Krispy Kreme donuts, which I love.
Yes. Oh my god, that was my first exposure
here out here, and it drives me nuts. But it's a good thing because I'd be 75 pounds heavier if you did.
Yes. My first exposure to fresh, warm Krispy Kreme donuts was in Vegas one year, and I was never the same since. Chad,
that was my pregame meal.
Good to see you. Have a wonderful show, and we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely.
All right. There you go. Our own Kenny Rogers right there. All right. Well, that's it for today. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the so-called grand compromise on school aid, which actually is going to leave some large school districts with less state aid in the coming year. Remember us to follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. We love the downloads on the podcasters, and those of you listening live, keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.